Okay, are we ready to go?
We're ready.
Okay. Well, before we start our press conference on Small Business Week, I want to take just a few minutes to talk about the historic tax reform agreement that we announced on Friday. When I was sworn in as governor in May, I made it a priority to reform our broken and complicated tax system. We have the fourth highest individual tax rate in the country and the highest corporate tax rate in the country. And the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation ranks us 40th overall. The need for reform was clear enough, but the need became greater in December when Congress and the President enacted historic tax reform at the federal level. Because of federal deductibility, if we did nothing, Iowans were going to see their state tax increase because of their federal tax cuts. Small business owners and families with children especially were going to see some of the highest state tax increases because of the federal cuts were specifically targeted to them. That's why in the condition of the state address in January, I said that we were going to pass a tax reform package that significantly reduced rates, modernized our tax code, eliminates federal deductibility, and provides real tax relief for middle-class families, farmers, and small businesses. And I'm proud to announce that we're doing just that. The plan prioritizes Iowa's hardworking middle-class families, it reduces rates, and eliminates federal deductibility, making Iowa's tax code more competitive and transparent. It dramatically simplifies Iowa's overly complicated tax code. It ensures fairness to Main Street businesses in the modern economy, and it protects budget sustainability in future years by including safeguards that must be targeted before additional tax cuts go into effect. In addition, Iowa will no longer stand out as having one of the worst tax codes in the country. Our tax code will no longer inhibit our growth, but instead it will foster it. And important for our small businesses, which is the topic of the day, we'll be increasing what's known as Section 179 expensing to $70,000 this year, $100,000 next year, and by 2020 we'll match the federal standard at $1 million. By allowing businesses to fully expense their equipment purchases, we'll encourage investment, encourage greater job growth, and encourage greater job growth in the state. I want to especially thank Speaker Upmeyer, Majority Leader Whitfer, Majority Leader Hagenow, and President Snyder for their leadership on this issue and really for their leadership throughout this successful legislative session. And I also want to thank Representatives Van der Linden and County, as well as Senator Feenstra, for their hard work in helping us reform our outdated tax code. So today, our topic is Iowa's Targeted Small Business Program, and in recognition, really, of National Small Business Week. Small business owners drive our state's economy, and their companies are the heart and soul of our communities. More than 99% of Iowa businesses are small businesses, which employ about half of Iowa's workforce. Small business owners and entrepreneurs turn our communities into destinations. Their products and services reach the far corners of the world through trade. More than 80% of Iowa's exporters are small businesses. In addition, women and minority-owned small businesses are especially important to Iowa's success. They bring diversity of thought and different perspectives to the forefront. Women and minority-owned businesses also help increase incomes and decrease opportunity gaps in Iowa. It's critical that we encourage and support women and minority-owned businesses throughout the state, and I'm proud to say that right now, Iowa has more than 80,000 women business owners and 14,000 businesses owned by minorities. In fact, Iowa has experienced an 80% increase in minority business ownership as of 2015, but we know that there's more to do. It's discouraging, one of the discouraging statistics is that 19% of minority business owners are afraid to apply for loans out of fear of denial, and that's unacceptable. We need to do what we can to change that perception. Fortunately, the Targeted Small Business Program is a positive step in the right direction. Today, there are several certified targeted small business participants in the room with us. They are great examples of successful women and minority-owned businesses in our state. And I'd like to recognize the following individuals. Russell Curry, the owner of Wide Prairie HR in Coralville. Dwana Bradley, owner of Iowa Urban Media in Des Moines. Jerry Frank and Uriel Barrias, owners of Stratifolio in Cedar Rapids, and James Lang, owner of Always Moving Forward in North Liberty. These enterprising business leaders are motivating, and they represent unlimited opportunities that exist here in Iowa. So I want to thank each of these individuals for their strong commitment to Iowa and really your continued investment in our state. Thank you. We appreciate each of you. And I also want to encourage all Iowa residents to shop at Iowa's small businesses, not only this week, but all year round. I'm excited about the level of innovation and entrepreneurship that exists throughout Iowa. The momentum is building, and I've seen it in small towns as we have the opportunity to travel and visit great businesses in small communities and urban areas all across the state of Iowa. Our role truly is to create a competitive business environment so that small business and entrepreneurs can do what they do best, and that is create jobs, grow our economy, and support our local community. So thank you very much for doing that every single day. And now it's my honor to have the Lieutenant Governor come up, and he'll tell you a little bit more about the Targeted Small Business Program.
Thank you, Governor, and good morning. Iowa's Targeted Small Business Program recognizes the importance of diversity in our state's business community. A targeted small business is a small business in Iowa operating for a profit, making less than $4 million in gross revenue annually, and at least 51% owned and actively managed and operated by one or more women, minorities, persons with a disability, or service-disabled veterans. The Targeted Small Business Program has been around since 1986, but has recently been given new life. In fact, the Department of Inspections and Appeals, the Department of Administrative Services, and the Iowa Economic Development Authority convened a lean event in 2016 to identify ways to improve the program. We want to congratulate and thank the agencies for coming together proactively for the benefit of our small businesses. The Targeted Small Business Program offers a number of benefits to qualifying and certified owners, including access to the state's procurement network. State agencies sourcing from a targeted small business receive an exemption from competitive bidding requirements for purchases of up to $10,000. They also receive a 48-hour advance notice of procurement opportunities. TSBs are also eligible for loans of up to $50,000 to help start or expand their business. And targeted small businesses also receive business promotion, education, and networking opportunities hosted by the Iowa Economic Development Authority and its partners, who work together to create a network of support for small businesses in Iowa, including Iowa SourceLink. Iowa SourceLink is a resource for all small businesses, offering training, webinars, expert advice, and a services directory. That resource is celebrating its fifth year this year. The targeted small businesses here today are identified by a sticker, signifying the targeted small business program mark. And we'd encourage you to look for this mark when you're shopping for goods and services all over the state. At this time, I'm happy to turn it over to Iowa Economic Development Authority Director Debbie Durham for more. Debbie?
Thank you. Well, thank you, Governor and Lieutenant Governor, and good morning. The TSB program needs and deserves to be run by someone who wakes up every single day thinking about small businesses. And that daily champion here at IEDA is Jill Lippincott. So Jill, please stand up. That is why we have been able to do with this transition to one managing agency, the Iowa Economic Development Authority. Since transitioning to IEDA last summer, we have made a number of changes to the TSB program, removing the fee requirements to become certified and improving the overall benefits for TSBs in the program. Perhaps, though, the most important change was to simplify the application requirements for certification and enable online submissions and renewals. In addition, we have just launched a new online directory that makes it easier for procurement professionals to find TSBs, either by using purchasing codes or by searching for multiple product or service categories at once. Our TSBs are now able to manage their online profile, customizing their business information with a logo and description. As a result of these changes, we have reduced the lead time for certification from more than a month to a week or less. In fact, in FY 2017, IEDA certified more new TSBs than had been certified the 2 years prior combined. With 443 businesses currently certified, we have more TSBs today than we've had in 5 years. Now it is my pleasure to introduce one of our newest TSBs, Christy Jones, who owns R. Jones Collision One, an auto repair company right here in Des Moines. Christy.
Thank you, Director Durham. Again, my name is Christy Jones, and I own R. Jones Collision One. We are an auto body and collision repair shop in the greater Des Moines area. I have known about the Targeted Small Business program for a number of years since I became a business owner 3 years ago. Once I learned the application was online, I got to work. I was able to fill it out within an afternoon, submitted the required documents on a Friday, and I was certified on Monday. I did have a few questions while completing the form, but I was able to get a hold of the program manager and got those questions answered within a day. I was later notified that day that my certification was complete. The whole process from start to finish was only a few days. It was important to me to become a targeted small business because I am one of the few women-owned body shop owners in the Des Moines area, as well as the state as well. I have done business with the federal government, fixed some cars up at Camp Dodge. So I'm looking forward to create business opportunities here with the state government as well. Knowing that the State Department in Iowa is tasked with working with targeted small businesses, and for me as a targeted small business owner, it's a win-win for both of us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Christine. And now we're so glad to hear the new online application process is actually working, right?
Yes,
as
yes,
a
yes.
Real testimonial, that's good. As the Lieutenant Governor mentioned, one of the TSB program benefits is to access state procurement. The benefit is important in working with DAS. We're improving public procurement awareness of TSBs. However, in addition, we're beginning to see private industry start or expand their own diverse supplier programs. Some local companies have agreed to recognize TSB certification from suppliers seeking to participate in these programs, increasing the opportunities for our state's women and minority-owned businesses. That is why I'm so pleased to have my friend, Janine Pettenkoff, Vice President of Customer Engagement and Solutions with Alliant Energy here today. Alliant is one of those companies working with our TSB program to increase the diversity of their supply chain. Janine.
Good morning. It's really an honor to be here today. In my role at Alliant Energy, I have the privilege of overseeing economic development, our customers and our communities, marketing and much more. And so basically what that means, I spend a lot of time thinking about our customers and communities, which is why I love my job. At Alliant Energy, we recognize the value of contracting with local businesses and having diversity within our supplier base. We are committed to using small businesses and those owned by minorities, women, LGBT, and service-disabled veterans so that our suppliers reflect the diversity of the communities that we're privileged to serve. That's why we're really excited about the new targeted small business portal. So this will make it so much easier for us to identify Iowa businesses that can be potential bidders for our projects. At Alliant Energy, we've had a robust supplier diversity program in place for over a decade. We target 15% of all sourceable spend to small or diverse businesses, and most years we meet or exceed that goal. Last year alone, we spent $212 million with businesses of this type. We turn to diverse vendors for the products we use directly. We also encourage our major contractors to do the same and require all RFPs to include a small or diverse business. A great example is our construction of our generating station in Marshalltown, which went into service just last year and creates enough energy to power 500,000 homes. At $700 million, this was the largest single investment in the history of Marshall County. We made it a priority to partner with local businesses, contractors, and diverse vendors to bring the facility into operation. More than 800 jobs helped boost the tax base during the 3 years of construction, and our contractors and workers spent $50 million locally because of this project. This is a success for Iowa and a path we'll take again in future projects. This new portal that we're talking about today that has been now launched allows us to continue to invest in our communities as we keep the power flowing safely and reliably and prepare for our energy future. Thank you to Governor Reynolds, Lieutenant Governor Gregg, Director Durham, and our partners in communities across the state for this exciting initiative.
And we will open it up for questions on this topic. Any questions? What are we all gonna do? We're going to go out and we're going to shop at one of our small businesses, right?
Absolutely.
I am excited about that. So that's what we want to make sure all of us do. Thank you so much. And again, thank you to the Targeted Small Businesses for being here and for all that you do on behalf of our state and on behalf of Iowans. So thank you. Okay. Actually, those are two separate issues, Kay. So the outside counsel for the sexual harassment will be done by Mr. Weinhart, and then IFA has indicated to me this morning that they'll be bringing in a third-party audit to do the financial side.
It won't be the state auditor,
it'll be an outside audit, which they already retain. I believe they already have one on retainer, and so they will be the ones conducting the review. Well, that's why they're doing it. It's important that we take a look at it. We acknowledge what best practices are. And so that's the whole purpose of doing the review.
Governor, last week you released a letter from one of Dave Jameson's alleged victims, but another woman complained to your office as well. What can you tell us about those allegations?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, let's just start from the beginning. First of all, I made the decisive decision to, within 24 hours, to fire former Director Jameson based on the horrific sexual allegations that were given to me. The number two priority after speaking with the victims was to make sure that we not only did everything we could to protect their safety, but their confidentiality upon their request. And it was really important to me that we follow through because I want every single individual in the state of Iowa to know that we have a process in place, they have somebody they can go to, that they will be heard and action will be taken. And it's really important when you're changing the culture in state government, which I have said we are going to do, that if the victim requests confidentiality, that we honor that. Yeah. Thirdly, one of the victims decided that she would tell the story on her own terms and on her timeline. And once she did that and requested it to be released, again, things changed. And so this is an opportunity for us to go in with an outside review and make sure that we have the facts when we are looking at processes and moving forward so that I can make sure that that everybody knows there's a zero tolerance policy. We're changing the culture in state government. This is the process. If you feel uncomfortable reporting to your direct report, there's other paths or other individuals or agencies that you can report to. You will be heard and action will be taken.
Do you have any reason to believe that Jameson's behavior ever went beyond comments and involved inappropriate touching?
That's why we're bringing in the outside audit, so that we can make sure, or review, that we know what the facts are and we take a look at the process moving forward. Well, that's not what I'm saying. I just think it's important. I sat down with the director of the Department of Human Services. I was made aware of the allegations on Friday, Saturday morning. I got together with my team. Director Phipps from the Department of Administrative Services was part of that. I can tell you by the counsel that I received from her, the same action would have been taken. But I think it's important, working with the Attorney General's office, that we have an outside firm come in and do a review and make sure we know what the facts are so that when we look at the processes and there are things that we can do better or enhance the process that's in place, then we should be doing that. And so that's what we will, that'll be the takeaway from the review.
A follow-up question, if I might. I'm sorry, I can't
see you. I know. We're doing that so that we can understand the facts and make sure that the process that we have in place does what it needs to do. Again, I want to make sure that everyone knows that we have a zero tolerance policy, that there is a process and who they're to report to if they're a victim or they see it, and that they will be heard and action will be taken. So this is, I think it's important that we do this review at IFAS so that we can understand, you know, what happened, what do we need to do differently, and so we can base those decisions moving forward on the facts.
Governor, can you tell us, explain to us, a lot of people have asked us, what is the relationship between Governor Reynolds and Mr. Jameson? Can you tell us what your relationship has been with him in the past and what it is, what it has been while he's been a state employee?
Well, first of all, I was sworn in as a county treasurer in 1994. I served 14 years as county treasurer, 19 in the county treasurer's office, and Dave was former Director Jameson was a county treasurer. We were sworn in at the same year, so we served together in as a local government officials, and he has been a friend of mine and of our family, actually. And continued to work with him as a colleague. Through as a director of the Iowa Finance Authority.
Governor, did you ever know Jameson as a behavior like this over the last 20 years, or have you ever witnessed such behavior?
Absolutely not.
Governor, you had chosen to not do the independent review from the onset when you got the letter and the other complaint. Why did you wait?
Well, first of all, again, one of my top priorities was to maintain the confidentiality and anonymity of the two victims that had been sexually harassed, and I wasn't going to break their confidence in me when they asked that I make sure that it remains confidential. That's a small agency, and as you could tell, it was very detailed, and it would have made it very hard not to identify the two victims. But when one of the victims made the decision to go ahead and tell her story on her terms and with her timeline, it changed, and so that gave us an opportunity then to work with the Attorney General's office and IFA to bring in outside counsel and to review and just get the facts so that we understand if there's things that we need to do moving forward that we're basing those on facts.
But you still have a second victim here who does want confidentiality.
Yep, both of them still really are asking for confidentiality.
So are you alleging that this review would have put their confidentiality in jeopardy?
Before they released the letter, yes.
But that's only one of the two.
But there.
Did the second victim agree to?
It's okay to go ahead and move forward with the review.
The second person said that?
It's okay to go move forward with the review.
Did you tell us, Governor, anything about that second victim's complaint?
No.
Did those victims ask you not to do an internal review or to
move beyond fire? No. What they did ask was that they wanted to remain anonymous and that they wanted to keep this confidential, but they wanted to make sure that we understood what was going on and that so I took decisive action in firing Director Jameson. But all through that, they have asked me to maintain the confidentiality. We didn't have executive council meeting this morning for lack of business, so there wasn't actually one. I've spoken to Director Jensen, and she has reviewed it, and right now she believes it's the right thing to do to move forward, but if anything changes, then we'll review it at that time. No, well, it's my understanding that the council approved that, and they did talk to the Department of Management in our office also, and based on the information and Director Jensen's review of moving forward with the purchase, she still believes that that's the right thing to do. Now, if something changes, then we'll take a look at that, but right now, based on the review that she's made, she is recommending that they go ahead and move forward with the transition. Unless we hear anything different right now based on Carol Ann's review and what we've seen, that's the right thing to do.
Can we ask you a couple of questions about the tax? Can we ask you a couple of questions?
So we've reached a framework and we've reached an agreement. And I'm excited about the tax reform bill that we put place. In the release that we have, it outlines a lot of the priorities that I talked about in the condition of the state. We're still finalizing some of the details on that, but that should be released this week, and then I'm sure they'll have a fiscal note at that time.
What is your thoughts on the taxation issue between banks and credit unions that's been aired on a lot of radio and TV stations?
That's going to be, you're going to see that shortly when that bill is released, so we'll have the information at that time. Thank you.
Nice job. 2017's over.
Yeah, I bet you are.
It was a great year for so many things, other than my. So.